are back and better than ever there. We have finally recovered from the Pirate Christian Conference, which was great. Fantastic to meet some of you up there. And yeah, things went well. Lectures went good. Kind of, yeah, it was a good experience. Really, really good, and glad to get the podcast out there. The ideas about postmodernism, hopefully we'll be able to air some of those to you. We'll at least be able to give you access to them in some way, shape, manner, form so you can hear them. But after a couple weeks of some repeats here, we are finally back in action. By the way, Matthew Garnett here. Welcome to In Layman's Terms. You can check us out on the web, laymanstermsradio.org. Also, be sure to definitely check out Fred Ancho and Kenyon Christian Arts. They're struggling over there. They're struggling. And anything you can donate, buy their art. They've got beautiful art there. So just check them out there. There's a link right at the top of our website for Fred and Kenyon Christian Arts. And also check out all of our sponsors there. All of them are there for our endeavor here. Again, want to thank KNNA. I got to meet Evan, who actually set all this up. He was the vicar up there at Pastor Poppy's church for his vicarage, but he's actually the field worker at my church. And so I got to meet him, and that was a good experience, and very grateful and humbled and thankful that we're able to be on KNNA. And so welcome to everybody in the Pirate Christian audience, and here we go. Yeah, we're going to start the podcast season off right here. We've got a few weeks before the evangelicals start their thing, and we're gonna hit on them when they start off their season. That usually happens after Labor Day, so we'll start to look at some evangelical sermons then. Also, looking at getting got to get Pastor Poitier back on here. He's hit me up about talking, you know, about how to discuss controversy among brothers and how to have civil discourse, which is something we really need in this day and age, and we really can't give up that fight. So so we'll be looking at some of that sort of thing. Pastor Mize wants to come on and talk about the catechism. So we've got some stuff lined up for you guys that I think is going to be great. But this week we're going to kind of get back into it here and talk to you about law and gospel sermons. Now, if you're in a Lutheran church or you're in a church who understands law and gospel, let me just kind of put it this way. Not all law and gospel sermons are created equal. I mean, a guy can preach law and gospel in a general sense, and you could say, yeah, that was a law and gospel sermon. But again, not all law and gospel sermons are created equally. And a lot of times what I see out there are guys preaching this kind of sermon. You're all sinners, and remember your baptism and take the Lord's Supper. Your sins are forgiven. Now, that qualifies as a law and gospel sermon. It does. But what's missing in this? This is what I started to kind of wonder, because, you know, I've been exposed to some really top-notch Lutheran preaching in the church I'm in. And I listen to these sermons, and I'm blown away. And I started to think to myself, what is it about these sermons that makes sense, that kind of hit all the points, as opposed to some of these other law and gospel sermons that I hear from other Lutherans? And so I kind of developed this matrix, if you will, of law and gospel, what I call a law and gospel grid. And I started to think of this in terms of the law and what that specifically means, and the gospel and what that specifically means. And so, according to the Lutheran Confessions, the law has three parts, has three uses. It's the curb, the mirror, and the guide. The curb does have its civil uses, but essentially, at its basic level, the first use of the law is the threats or the punishments. So when we're thinking about law and gospel sermons, is the sermon you're listening to, that is a law and gospel sermon, does the guy talk about the possible temporal punishments you might receive from your sin, the natural consequences of your sin? Does he speak about that? Does he talk about the possible eternal punishments that if you persist in a sin without repentance, that this could result in a loss of your faith? Does he warn you of these things? This is important. These are biblical. We see this all over the place in the New Testament where people once believed and then they turned away from the faith, either by an act of their own volition or because of sins, besetting sins that they'd fallen into. St. Paul warns about this all over the place. So does the preacher speak of this? Now, let me put this caveat on it. Your pastor may not hit on every one of these in every single sermon. That's fine. But the question is this first use of the law, the curb, the warnings of the punishments of sin, and the rewards of obedience to God's law, does he speak of these? Is this thematic of his preaching? Can you remember a time when your pastor preached this way? If not, there might be a problem. Okay, so, and this might be something you might want to address with him and bring it up and say, you know, pastor, you never talk about how if I persist in a particular sin against my conscience without repentance, how that can harm my soul and how that can harm others around me, these sorts of things. You never warn of these dangers. The scriptures are clear on this. And reality bears this out, that when we sin and we persist in sin, this is harmful to not only us, but to those around us. And so the pastor should be preaching about this. This should be thematic of his preaching. You should be able to remember time. Oh yeah, my pastor preached about that a few weeks ago. Should be something that you can recognize in his preaching. Okay. And also this goes for podcasts and lectures as well. So if you're not, you know, sermons you're listening to out there that say they're law and gospel sermons, lectures that also should be presenting this, podcasts, same thing. If you're listening to a podcast over, you know, the course of 6 months or a year, and you never hear them talk about how besetting sin, how persisting in sin without repentance can harm your soul, that should send up a red flag to you. They're omitting part of the law. All right, so let's move on to second use. Now, this one's usually not a problem, because even my my friends who preach the "you're all sinners" and "remember your baptism and take the Lord's Supper, your sins are forgiven" preachers, they pretty much hit on this, you know. But you want to hear your preacher obviously talk about, you know, you're a sinner because of original sin. You want to hear them talk about that, and in no uncertain terms, talk about how original sin is disobedience to the Lord's command. I was listening to a podcast today. Lutheran pastor, LCMS Lutheran pastor, who said that original sin is not disobedience to the Lord's command, but is actually us wanting to know the difference between good and evil, and us wanting to be good. That's original sin. Now, I have no idea. Well, I have some idea. But I question what he really means by that and would want some clarification. But your pastor should not be unclear on this. Or the podcast you're listening to should not be unclear on this. The lecture you're listening to when you're out there cruising around should not be unclear on the fact that original sin is Adam's disobedience to the Lord's command. That's it. That's what original sin is. It's a breaking of the first commandment. All right? So your pastor should be clear on that, or whoever you're listening to should be clear. And that because of that, because of original sin, we will commit actual sins. And on top of that, the preacher, the lecturer, the podcaster should be talking about how we sin in specific ways, not just in some general abstract way. You're a sinner. This is the problem I have. Again, this is even a problem in the "you're all sinners" sermon. is that the pastor never brings sin out of the abstract and talk about it in specific ways. You're all sinners. Remember your baptism. Take the Lord's Supper. Your sins are forgiven. That is a law and gospel sermon, but they're leaving out quite a bit there. And that's really what's missing in those sermons. And, you know, that there's really no escape hatch in second use. There's no way to get out of the fact that you are a sinner because you were born a sinner, and you're a sinner because you actually sin. There's no way to get out of that. They should box you in their preaching in such a way that doesn't allow you to escape that, short of presenting the gospel, which we'll get to in a second. Now, in addition to that, we have third use, which instructs us Christians, us regenerate men and women who have been baptized and have been given faith to believe in the person and work of Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. The pastor should be preaching about that. He should be talking about how the law instructs and teaches the Christian. He should be giving you specific instructions in the law from the scriptures, not making them up now. All right? We're not looking for Oprah to give us self-help here. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for the pastor to expound in the scriptures ways that specifically instruct us in the law. I mean, this is really what the Proverbs do, right? They give us very specific things. The one that comes to mind is, you know, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Not sure I've got that exactly perfect quote, but the idea there is that if you teach your children the faith, the likelihood is when they grow older, they will keep their faith. That's specific instruction. And the scriptures speak this way. St. Paul speaks this way all over the place in every one of his epistles. He gives very specific instruction to his people in the law. And your preacher should be doing the same thing. Your podcaster, your lecturer, whoever you're listening to, they should be giving you specific instruction in the law. Now, they don't have to do this in every sermon, but this should be thematic in their preaching and in their teaching. You should say, "Oh yeah, I remember. I listen to this podcast all the time, and I remember, you know, two podcasts ago they were talking very specifically about the instruction of God's law." And you should say, "Yeah, we've got that." The really good ones will do it every time, and we're going to listen to a good sermon from Pastor David Peterson, and he hits on all these points in a 15-minute sermon. It's astonishing. Now, does he go in super depth with this? No, he doesn't. Doesn't have time to. But he hits on almost all these points, and that's what I determine is like why these sermons are so astonishing, is because he understands the law, he understands the uses the law has, and he tries to hit on those every single time. And when he preaches this way, it's just amazing. You walk out of there with what you need as a Christian to face the next week. All right. So, there's that. There's those ideas of how the law can instruct us and teach us as Christians, the specific instructions of the law, and the idea that you as a Christian do have the ability. You have been given a new will. You have a free will as a Christian. This is part of the gospel, which we'll talk about in a little while, but that you actually can obey the law. You can. You've been given that ability in Christ. So there's no excuse like, "Well, I'm just a poor, miserable sinner and I can't obey the law." No, when you hear preachers preach like that, they're preaching falsely. That's where some of these, you're all sinners, but your sins are forgiven, type preachers err. In reality, is they talk about how, you know, we're just, at the end of the day, we're only poor, miserable sinners, and we can't obey God's law. Our will is still bound. None of that's true. As Christians, as regenerate Christians, we've been given a new will, and we can obey God's law. And preachers should be preaching this way. This is one of the big things I see, especially in my own faith tradition, is that preachers don't preach like this. And they should be. All right, and we're going to see Pastor Peterson preach this way. Now, let's turn to the gospel. We don't just want the generic, remember your baptism, go to the Lord's Supper, and your sins are forgiven. Now, while those are important things, and they can be integrated into a sermon, and should be integrated into a sermon, that's not the whole story. Let's talk about what the gospel is. First of all, the gospel, like St. Paul teaches us in 1 Corinthians 15, is that Christ died, he was buried, he rose again, and was seen by many for the forgiveness of sins. That's the gospel. The pastor should be preaching that. And most of the sermons I've heard, most of the lectures, do touch on that. That the gospel is that God, born of the Virgin Mary, lived, taught, died, rose again from the dead, ascended to the right hand of the Father. They talk about the person and work of Christ for the forgiveness of sins. That's the gospel. All right. Now, let's flesh this out a little bit. This is what we want to see from preachers. First of all, the gospel delivers us from sin, death, and the devil to forgiveness, life, and salvation. This is what we want to hear in a sermon. So, first of all, from sin by forgiveness. So does the preacher talk about the forgiveness of sins. Now, I would say virtually 100% of the time, the Lutheran sermons, the law, and gospel sermons I've heard talks about this. Your sins are forgiven. That's the, we're all sinners, but your sins are forgiven, law and gospel sermon. They got that covered. What they don't often cover is our freedom from sin. This is one that is often missed. That part of the gospel is that we're freed from sinning. And I hit on that just a minute ago. That Christians now have the freedom from just sinning all the time. We don't have to do that. We've been given a new free will in Christ that can choose to do good. That's part of the gospel, friends. That we've been freed from that. St. Paul talks about this all over the place, especially in Romans, that we're freed from the slavery to sin. We're not only forgiven, but we're freed from being bound and always having to sin. We can now choose to do good. All right, that is to me, that's great news, because before I understood this, I thought, well, I'm just going to sin. I'm just always going to sin, and there's nothing I can do about it. No, that's not true. If you hear preachers talk like this, they're wrong. They're teaching falsely. They're teaching against the scriptures, and if you're Lutheran, they're teaching against our confessions, because that is not true. You are not bound to sin all the time. You're given a new free will in Christ that can choose to do good. All right, that's good news. Because now you don't have to walk around being a destructive, evil person the rest of your life. You've been freed to do good works in Christ. And you can choose to do those. All right? So, that's the freed from sin by forgiveness piece. Now, what about being freed from death to life? Well, let's kind of flesh that out. What's death? Let's talk about death. Well, there's three parts of death. First of all, there's physical death. That's obvious. We're all going to die physically, but we're going to be raised to new life in Christ, right? Should hear preachers talk about this, that we're going to die because of sin physically, and we're going to be raised to new life physically from the dead. We're going to be given new bodies, right? We see this from Christ as the first one this happened to. So that's pretty easy. Then there's eternal death. Now, this is the punishment for sin, and this is what Christ takes for us on the cross. And preachers should be talking about this, that Christ took our punishment for sin. We have lived and done destructive things in this world toward our neighbors. That deserves punishment. That deserves God's justice being visited upon us. God says, you violated this person, I'm taking this person's side, and I'm going to punish you for your violation of that person, for your destructive behavior towards that person. That's what really should happen. But God be praised, Jesus, in his person and work, comes to earth, takes that punishment for us, takes our eternal death that we deserve in hell. And Jesus did it in a few hours on the cross. God's wrath was poured out on him. God's face was turned away from him. Look at Psalm 22. Look at the prophet Isaiah. You'll see this. And he took our eternal punishment. He took our eternal death. Right? So that's what Jesus did. Now, there's spiritual death, which Jesus did not experience, but that's unbelief. So the gospel, by God granting us repentance by the Holy Spirit through his word and sacraments, grants us belief. So we avoid spiritual death, so that we believe on his name and believe the gospel. That's the final key. Jesus did not experience that. Jesus never did experience spiritual death, if that makes sense. But we do. We are unbelievers brought to life by the Holy Spirit granting us repentance and bringing us from that death, from that spiritual death, to life based on the person and work of Christ. Right? So we should hear pastors talking about this sort of thing. All right. Now, from the devil to salvation. And this essentially is being transferred from being a son of the devil to being a son of the Father. That's what being delivered from the devil means, to salvation. That we're no longer children of Satan, but we're adopted sons and daughters of the Most High King of the universe. And preachers should be talking about this as well. And so when you see all of these elements, both the law and the gospel pieces, now you're listening to a good sermon. Now you're listening to a good lecture. Now you're listening to a good podcast. And that's kind of the matrix, the grid you want to listen to these things. The other thing that you want to listen for that might help you kind of get a jump on this is the preacher or teacher, is he actually preaching the law? Is he talking about how you should be obedient to your parents? Is he actually preaching that and saying this should be done? Think Christ's Sermon on the Mount. Christ preached the Sermon on the Mount, yes, to convict us of sin and to turn us to him and his cross and resurrection so we could be saved. Certainly that was there. But he also preached the Sermon on the Mount as something to be obeyed. He preached the law. So, see, a lot of pastors will preach about the effects of the law. So go back to this, you're all sinners sermon, right? That's an effect of the law, is that we're all sinners. But there's no actual law being preached there. They're not talking about the specifics of it. They're not bringing it out of the abstract and talking about it in the specific way Holy Scripture does. Same thing with the gospel. A lot of pastors will talk about the effects of the gospel, the forgiveness of sins, but hardly ever will you hear them talking about how Christ took, say, our eternal death. He took our punishment for sin. See? So it's important that the pastor not just preach law and gospel in the sense that he's going to talk about the effects of the law or the effects of the gospel, but he's got to actually speak of the law and speak of the gospel and speak about it in these specific terms. And so, to illustrate this, we're going to bring in Pastor Peterson's sermon and show you exactly what we're talking about. But you don't have to call me darling, darling. You never even call me by my name. Well, a friend of mine named Steve Goodman wrote that song, and
He told me it was the perfect country and western song. I wrote him back a letter and I told him it was not the perfect country and western song because he hadn't said anything at all about mama or trains or trucks or prison or getting drunk. Well, he sat down and wrote another verse to the song and he sent it to me, and after reading it I realized that my friend had written the perfect country and western song, and I felt obliged to include it on this album. The last verse goes like this here. Well, I was drunk the day my mom got out of prison, and I went to pick her up in the rain. But before I could get to the station in the pickup truck, she got run over by a dough train.
Alright, so I just had to throw that in because we're talking about sermons, complete sermons. So that song talks about, hey, that's not it. That's not the best country song ever because it didn't include this and this and this and this and this. And when you're listening to sermons, the same thing should apply. That's not a good sermon because it didn't include this and this and this and this and this. And when you see this thematic in your pastor's sermon or your podcaster's or your lecture, there should be a problem. So, just wanted to throw that in. A little entertainment value, but illustrates the point. Illustrates the point. Okay, let's get going.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The church would again today direct our attention to the Christian's relationship with the law. It's a theme of this part of the church year, sanctification and the law. The Christian's relationship to the law is complicated. It's not easily given over to internet sound bites or slogans for t-shirts. The eternal law of God is above all else good and holy. It is the Lord's will. It is his order for all of the universe. The law then establishes our place in the world, and also our place in his kingdom. The problem we have with the law is that we have rejected that order and have sought to establish our own place, to take what we wanted, even what was forbidden, against his will. We did this because we did not trust in his goodness or in the goodness of his order. And thus, we make his order an accusation against us.
So right there, already, he's talking about original sin. That's what he's referencing there. That in Adam, we did not trust God's order. We did not trust his word, and we went against it. So he's very obviously defined original sin for us there. So he's got that covered.
It's as though the rain had decided on its own that it was meant mainly for running in rivers, and thus it refused to soak into the ground and water the plants. If such a ridiculous thing were to happen, then the dying plants would bear witness against the rain, much in the way that our neighbors, our wives, and our families do against us. And if such a ridiculous thing happened, then God's good and gracious order, what he had created rain for, would stand as an accusation against the rain.
Okay, so in his analogy here, he brought in some very specific laws about family, husband, these pertain directly to the Ten Commandments. So he's very specific here. This is good. He's brought the law out of the abstract and is talking about very specific things. He's not just talking about sin. We're all sinners in general, in the abstract, but very specific. All right? That's what we're looking for.
By showing its failure. Our refusal To live within God's order, to see the goodness of it, is as ridiculous as the rain deciding that it will not water the plants. When we sin, when we violate God's law, we operate against our own nature, against how we were created. For although we knew God, we did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. We became futile in our thinking, and our foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, we became the worst of fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images and theories of our own design.
So here he's bringing in second use straight away. Now, by the way, you will hear a lot of people out there talking about how pastors shouldn't use the law. That's nonsense. Pastors should tailor their sermons specifically to the uses of the law. And Pastor Peterson has done that very carefully here. And it's clear that he is hitting on second use. He's pointing right at second use, using the law to accuse you. Now, can his the tailoring of his sermon here to use the law to accuse you, to box you in and say you are a sinner who has decided to go against God's created order? Can you use that for instruction? Of course you can. Can you use that as a warning? Perhaps. The Holy Spirit may do this, but that doesn't forbid the pastor from tailoring his sermon in this way. Clearly, Pastor Peterson is preaching second use here. And pastors should preach this. And if you hear pastors say, well, I don't preach any particular use, then generally speaking, they're being sloppy in their sermon preparation. They should be tailoring their sermons, just as Pastor Peterson does here, for a particular use. He has tailored this portion of his sermon to hit on second use, to accuse you, to box you in, to say you are a sinner and you've gone against God's created order. He does a good job of that, all right? We should all be feeling accused right now. And that's exactly his intent. And this is what good preachers do. So again, realize that there are pastors out there who will say, this kind of preaching can be used by the Holy Spirit for teaching. Now, can that happen? Of course. The Holy Spirit can use this to teach, instruct, and these sorts of things. But what happens more often than not in these pastors who preach the you're all sinners and Christ forgives your sin, those types of law and gospel sermons, a lot of times they'll claim, well, you'll say, well, pastor, you never instruct us in the law. Well, of course, that's not my job. My job is just to preach the law and let the Holy Spirit use the law however he wants. Well, that's nonsense. That's not how the scriptures speak. This is not how the law is preached in Holy Scripture. And the tailoring of one's sermon to a specific use of the law is not forbidden in the confessions anywhere. All right, so it's nonsense to make such a statement. That a pastor could preach the law this way, week in and week out, where it's clearly meant to accuse second use, and claim that the Holy Spirit can use it for third use. Can that happen? Of course. Of course it can happen. The Holy Spirit can use it that way. But at the same time, pastors should be precise in their preaching and tailor their sermons, just like Pastor Peterson has, and point us to second use. Clearly, he's trying to accuse us here, and he does a nice job of it.
And therefore, God gave us up in the lusts of our hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of our bodies among ourselves, so that we didn't know what was good anymore. We exchanged the truth about God for a lie. We worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. And therefore, the goodness of the law has to accuse and condemn us. That accusation and condemnation is not because the law suddenly changed. The law is eternal. It remains. It is good, even though it must perform on us, in part, an alien work. It does not do this because it has changed or because God has become something that he never was, but rather it is because we have changed. This is the first part of our relationship to the law. Prior to faith, the law only accuses and condemns. St. Paul writes, "For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in God's sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin." But of course, we are not only sinners. We have been baptized into the death of Jesus Christ. We have been raised with him in his resurrection.
All right, so right there, maybe I cut him off a little too soon. But here he's talking about the gospel. Now he's switching into gospel. Now listen, folks, when you're looking for law and gospel sermons, please don't evaluate a preacher, a lecturer, a podcaster on, well, does he teach law and then gospel? Now, a lot of preachers will do that, and that's fine. But the best preachers I have heard who preach law and gospel preach law and gospel, and then law, 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 gospel, gospel, law, gospel, law, law. They'll end on law. Don't evaluate a preacher on that. That's infantile in thinking. To evaluate a preacher, oh, he ended on the law. I felt so accused. That's ridiculous. So right here, Pastor Peterson is already preaching the gospel. Right? The first part of it. That our sins are forgiven in Christ. And that we are freed in our baptisms. He mentions baptism. That's good. But to what effect? That we are freed from continuing to be sinners, to be destructive agents in this world, and we can start to do good. We can make a start of it. And that's good news. That's part of the gospel. And he emphasizes that here. So already we've got second use. We've got first use, right? With original sin. He's hitting on all those points. And we've already got an element of the gospel right in here where our baptisms, the fact that we're not only sinners, as he put it, but we are also saints that can choose to do good. He's put that element of the gospel in here. One of the elements that's often missing in a lot of the preaching I hear, a lot of the lecturing, especially from Lutherans. He puts it right in here.
Solomon, we have confessed the Apostles' Creed, that God is good. And so it is that St. Paul continues, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins.
So, that's a mouthful here, and he just hit on a number of points of the gospel there. So we're given Christ's righteousness. Maybe that's something I probably should have emphasized when I talked about the forgiveness of sins, that Christ as a propitious sacrifice. Now, There he's talking about Christ taking on our eternal death. That's propitiation. That's Christ taking the punishment in our place, taking our eternal death upon himself. That's another point of the gospel. He's also talking about the forgiveness of sins, which gives us Christ's righteousness. See? So he's hit the forgiveness of sins part, the freedom from sin. So again, thanks sin, death, the devil, forgiveness, life, salvation. He's hit both of the points of the forgiveness of sins, and he's also hitting on here part of the life that we've been delivered from death to life. The fact that Christ took our eternal punishment. He suffered eternal death in our place. The death that we deserved. Right? We talked about that now. So already, we have first use being talked about. First use of the law in original sin. We have second use. Pastor Peterson clearly is preaching the law in such a way to accuse us. He admits that openly. That's exactly what he's talking about. That's exactly what he's driving at, and he's tailored his sermon that way. So we've got good portions of the law here. He goes into the gospel to talk about how we've been forgiven of our sin, of course, which he talks about in a minute, but talks about how we've been freed from being sinners, from living in sin, from being destructive people, that we can be good people now. We've been given a new will. And he goes on here to talk about how we've been given Christ's righteousness, which is the forgiveness part. And also that Christ died our eternal death. He took our punishment that we deserved. So he's in pretty good shape here. And he's going to hit the rest of these points and we'll show them to you.
The Lord has provided a lamb, his own son, to die in our place as our substitute. And he has fulfilled the law for us, answering all of its accusations against it, accepting its condemnation. And the angel of death takes him in our place, even as his sacrifice and his blood caused death and judgment to pass over us, leaving us unscathed. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that has been made known to us by the law. And yet, at the same time, we are justified by God's grace as a gift, not by our own works, but as a gift from Him, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forth as a propitiation by His blood. A propitiation is an appeasement. It means that God's wrath has been appeased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And this is received by faith, wherein God reckons us righteous. So what then of the law? If the atonement has been made on our behalf, if the payment of sins has been made in full by Jesus Christ, what has the law to do with us? Well, the law still needs to accuse us. We are righteous for Christ's sake. Indeed, we are holy. Our sins are forgiven. But we still abide in this rotting flesh. And the good work that has been begun in us, that which has been promised and also delivered in holy baptism, is not yet complete. The Holy Scriptures speak in many, many places about faith as a fight and a struggle against sin. Christians must engage in that struggle, in that fight, until their very last breath. But of course, all of us fail in this struggle daily, and therefore we must confess our sins anew and repent. The law is spiritual, but we are of the flesh. We are sold under sin, and yet at the very same time, by grace, we are the free children of God in whom the Spirit lives and works. This is a mystery, a profound mystery, that God gives us His own holiness, while yet we are still corrupted by original sin and must still struggle. And so it is that all Christians are of two minds at the same time. We want to obey the law and to please God with our works, and yet sin dwells in us. So we break God's law and we do what we do not want to do. We find it, for example, very difficult to tell the truth and not exaggerate certain things or leave out important details. We find it very difficult to concentrate the entire Lord's Prayer and not allow our minds to wander into daydreams, or to keep our thoughts pure and put the best construction on the actions and motives of others. The simple reality is we often cave to temptation and make ourselves willing allies of the world, the devil, and our sinful flesh. But perhaps worst of all, we shamefully and dangerously are quick to pretend as though the things that we have done are insignificant or are somehow not really our fault.
Well, okay, so here, this is a more brilliant part of the sermon, especially when it comes to the preaching of the law. Because Pastor Peterson, I think, has tailored this part to accuse primarily, but you can see how it also instructs. It does both. You can do both at the same time. And good preachers will do this. He's talking about, he's bringing sin out of the abstract. He's talking about very specific things. And so I'm sitting there thinking, oh, well, gosh, yeah, I really didn't say that thing to that person who was maybe in error in the kindest way. And so maybe next time I encounter that situation, I'll try to be more kind in how I confront this person. Okay, so I'm a critic, right? I criticize. This is what I do. I don't create anything. I don't make anything. I criticize. I warn all of you out there about these things. But in doing that, so when I'm hearing this sermon, of course, what Pastor Peterson is preaching is accusing me, but it's also instructing me. And this is going to set up his instruction later that's clear instruction, that's going to exhort us to be people who say things in the kindest way, who pay attention to the sermon, who focus on the Lord's Prayer. This is going to set up his instruction beautifully. This is good preaching of the law.
Well, sure, I thought a bad thing about this person, but he is bad. Or nobody's perfect and the like. And so it is that we need the law's continued accusations, and we need the law's clear standards, and in his mercy, God gives it. And when the law thus acts on us, accusing us, condemning us for our sins, by the Spirit's prompting, because we are Christians, we agree with the law. We thank the law for this. We love the law, even when it accuses us. And that is the second part of our relationship to the law, that which is utterly unique to Christians. For even though it confuses us, we confess that it is good and it is accurate. Even as we rejoice that we have been made once again aware of our great need for grace and mercy. And in that accusation, the law instructs the Christian without fail. Even as it accuses us, while it is accusing us, we in faith are agreeing with it, and thereby it is showing us not merely God's wrath, but it is also showing us God's good order. What we want, what we were meant for, how we were meant to be, what we were created, what satisfies. It's like telling the rain you're supposed to soak into the earth and water the plants. And the rain goes, aha, it finally fits. This is what I was meant to be, who I was meant to be. All Christians want to tell the truth. They want to pray the Lord's Prayer purely. They want to show genuine love to their neighbors. And this is because the Holy Spirit has been given to us, and we live by faith. And the Holy Spirit is not a spirit of slavery who gives his children no power to resist sin. Rather, he is the Spirit of adoption who has made us the sons of God by grace for the sake of freedom from sin.
So, there it is. He's completely preached the gospel in its fullness. That was the only piece he was missing, was the adoption into the family from being a son of the devil to being a son of God. So there it is. He's completely preached the gospel. And he's talking about instruction, and so he's completely preached the law. See, this is what makes a good sermon. This is what you should be looking for. And he's going to instruct us, as we'll see in the remainder of this sermon.
Freedom from sin is not freedom to sin. It's not license to sin. Nor is it freedom from the memory of sin or temptation of sin. It is freedom from the guilt of sin. There will come a time when we will be freed ultimately and completely from sin, so that there is no shame left and there are no consequences. But on this side of glory, the absolution removes guilt. God does not hold you accountable for these sins, but he declares you righteous, holy, and innocent for the sake of Jesus Christ. So, the law then still accuses. We're not free of the accusations. We need the law's accusations. We need to repent of our sins and to recognize that they are dangerous and they are hurtful. On this side of glory, freedom from sin means that we will be free from the final consequence of sin, that we are free already now from guilt, and that we are free to love the law and embrace it. All this because Christ our Lord has stood in our stead in the courtroom. And though he was innocent, he has been condemned, accused and condemned, not only by the Sanhedrin and Pilate, but also by his own father. He has suffered in our place, paid our penalty, and made himself the propitiation for our sins. And the Father has accepted it. The grave and death have lost their sting, for the Lord Christ has answered for us. And the Father declares us who were guilty to be innocent and righteous for Christ's sake, and this righteousness is given to us when we believe it. So you are free from the law, but you are not lawless, because God is not lawless. Nor do you hate the law. You love it. You gladly accept not only its accusations and respond piously to its threats, but you also love the law's instructions, the way of the Lord. And you do this because you are baptized and you love God, and the law is God's will, and you want to be like Jesus. Every Christian wants to be like Jesus, wants to keep the law, wants to love his neighbor. In Christ, you have been freed from sin's slavery so that you can hear God's word and believe it. You can accept it. And you should run away from anyone who tells you differently. In Jesus' name.
Okay. So there. Got the instruction in. And it's a fantastic start. This is a complete sermon. It's a complete sermon. He hit on all the points we talked about. And so, this is what you should be listening for. Now, listen, Pastor Peterson is an exceptional preacher. And your preacher may not hit on all these points every Sunday, but all these points should be thematic of his preaching. So if he doesn't hit on it one Sunday, maybe another. If the podcast you're listening to doesn't hit on all these points at one time, maybe next time. Okay, that's fine. But if some of these points are eliminated, there's a problem. And that's what you should be looking for. Okay. Hope that makes sense. Go listen to this sermon in its entirety on the Redeemer Fort Wayne website. Or actually, you can go listen to it on YouTube. Just Google Redeemer Fort Wayne. And all of our services are there. So this is the stuff we're looking for. We're talking about law, gospel, sermons. All right. Glad to be back. See you next week.
Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. It brings salvation to those who believe. Hey, preacher man. Vacation, what you saw, where you went, or how much it cost.
died for me on the cross. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Give me the good news of God's only son. Hey,